America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Today is Tuesday, August 17th. What to know about the desperation and panic on the streets of Afghanistan now that the Taliban is in control, and how President Biden is defending the decision to pull American troops out of there. Also, a new effort to protect against COVID-19 when you may be told to get a booster shot. Plus, a federal investigation into Tesla cars, America's largest retailer possibly embracing cryptocurrency. And a new feature on Tinder looks into your identity. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Thousands of people in Afghanistan are desperate to leave their own country now that the Taliban have taken over. That's especially clear at the airport in the Afghan capital of Kabul. The U.S. military and others have kept evacuating American personnel, Afghan interpreters, and others who could be in danger now for helping U.S. troops in Afghanistan. Thousands more are still waiting to get out, though. And other panicked Afghan civilians have been trying to get on those U.S. military flights, too. Huge crowds swarmed the runways yesterday. Some even tried hanging onto a plane as it was taking off. Sadly, seven people died in that chaos, including several who fell from the flight. American Marines also killed two people who were carrying weapons in the area. So now more U.S. forces are headed to the airport for backup. More than 9,000 American troops have now been sent to Afghanistan, at least temporarily, to assist in the evacuations. Afghans who are trying to leave don't have many other ways out, since now the Taliban control all the land border crossings. They've also set up checkpoints around the country, have been doing searches, and have confiscated weapons from civilians. Afghanistan has not had a functioning government since Sunday, when President Ashraf Ghani fled the country and the Taliban moved into the capital. A couple Afghan peace negotiators say they've held talks with the Taliban the last couple of days, but it's still not clear if the militant group is willing to share power. The Taliban believes in enforcing strict Islamic law as they interpret it. When the group last ruled Afghanistan 20 years ago, women were banned from public life. Men were beaten if they did not pray five times a day or if they cut their beards, and public executions were common. Over the last year, though, the Taliban have promised to do some things differently. For example, they promised to break ties with Al-Qaeda, the extremist group behind the 9/11 terror attack. Still, some counterterrorism experts tell NPR they doubt that will happen. The United Nations is now calling for urgent talks to resolve the crisis in Afghanistan. It wants the country to form a new government that will protect the rights of women, prevent human rights abuses, and keep terrorist groups from using Afghanistan as a safe haven. In the U.S., more former military leaders and current members of Congress are blaming the Biden administration for the chaos in Afghanistan. Some say the withdrawal of American troops should have been better planned and better implemented. And if it had been, they say there would be more stability and less violence in Afghanistan right now. But in a White House speech, President Biden defended the pace of the withdrawal. He said in the last 20 years of war, he's learned there was never a good time to get out. Biden talked about the U.S. giving the Afghan military every tool they needed, including two decades of training and hundreds of billions of dollars worth of equipment and resources. But still, he said, no one could give them the will to fight. The president admitted the Taliban did take over faster than he expected, but said no amount of military force would have stabilized the country, and he didn't want to risk any more American lives fighting Afghanistan's civil war. Either way, the focus is now getting all U.S. citizens and vulnerable Afghans to safety. Biden authorized $500 million to go to help refugees and other people at risk. Thousands more Americans have had to leave their homes to escape from Western wildfires. About 10,000 people were ordered to evacuate in eastern Utah. The Parleys Canyon fire started over the weekend when someone had issues with their car and it sent sparks flying along a highway. Since then, it's burned through more than 2 square miles. Meanwhile, the Dixie Fire in Northern California is still the largest wildfire burning in the U.S. Since it started last month, that one has burned more than 900 square miles. It's destroyed nearly 1,200 buildings, including homes, and thousands more are still threatened. It's still not clear exactly what sparked that fire, but PG&E thinks it might have started when a tree fell on one of its power lines. Overall, there are still nearly 100 large fires burning in 13 states around the U.S. Well, in the middle of a brutal drought, the U.S. has now declared the first ever water shortage on the Colorado River. So now the federal government is making cuts to water deliveries in the Southwest. The Colorado River feeds the nation's two largest reservoirs, and they're now both less than 35% full, which is a record low. And they're expected to keep sinking. So starting next year, states like Arizona, Nevada, and New Mexico will not be able to take as much water from the river. For now, it will mostly affect Arizona farmers. But if things keep getting worse, there might be cutbacks to the drinking water supply. More than 40 million people across seven states get water from the Colorado River. It looks like all Americans will be told to get an extra COVID-19 shot soon. News outlets like the AP cited officials who say experts will recommend everyone get boosters 8 months after they've been fully vaccinated. And yes, for those who got the Moderna or Pfizer vaccine, that means a third dose. It's not clear yet exactly how that rollout might go, but an official announcement is expected as soon as this week. For now, only people with compromised immune systems are eligible for these boosters. By the way, New York City is the latest place to mandate vaccines for certain activities. Everyone 12 and older will have to show proof they've been vaccinated to do things like eating inside at restaurants, working out at a gym, attending sporting events, and a lot more. San Francisco, California, and New Orleans, Louisiana have similar mandates already. But in those cities, either proof you've been vaccinated or a negative COVID-19 test from the last 72 hours will do. In New York City, the only option is to get your shots or stay away from almost all indoor activities. More news just ahead, but first, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Before I started The Newsworthy, I worked for more than a decade in traditional TV news, and I saw a lot of sad stuff in person every day. It's a big part of why I left and started this podcast, not only for myself, but also for others who felt bombarded by too much sad, alarming news. And I realized if we're not careful, any stress that we face in our lives repeatedly can lead to unnecessary anxiety. But thanks to therapy, it doesn't have to. And BetterHelp offers professional counseling that is both convenient and affordable. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist in a safe and private online environment, so you can connect from the comfort of your home. BetterHelp's counselors specialize in a variety of areas, including stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, grief, self-esteem, and more. I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a Newsworthy listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Join more than a million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Walmart could be the next big retailer to accept digital money as payment. The chain said this week it's looking to hire a cryptocurrency expert. This comes just weeks after rival Amazon announced it was also looking to get into digital currencies. In the job posting, Walmart says it wants someone who can develop a, quote, digital currency strategy and product roadmap. Walmart also says it wants this new person to manage possible crypto-related investments. There's been a major shift over the last few months, with more and more businesses allowing customers to pay with digital money. Just last week, AMC Theaters said they'll accept Bitcoin for movie tickets by the end of this year. Microsoft, PayPal, and Whole Foods are among the companies that already accept Bitcoin. Tesla's autopilot system is now under federal investigation. Regulators said they opened the case because at least 11 Tesla vehicles have crashed into parked emergency vehicles, including fire trucks and police cars, since 2018. One woman was killed and 17 others were hurt in these crashes. The investigation covers all of the cars Tesla has sold since 2014. Officials with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration will look for possible flaws in Tesla's autopilot system that could make it dangerous. If they find any issues, this federal agency could force Tesla to install new safety features or issue recalls. Investigators say they'll especially focus on how the autopilot system makes sure drivers are paying attention. Tesla does tell customers to keep both hands on the wheel and to watch the road. But as the New York Times reports, Tesla founder Elon Musk has been skeptical of the idea that an autopilot system should be monitoring the driver. And Tesla continues to say its autopilot feature is safe. Is the person you might be chatting with on Tinder really who they say they are? The company is expanding its ID verification system worldwide to make the dating app safer and prevent users from getting catfished, or in other words, lured into a relationship or scheme by someone with a fake profile. ID verification was already being used in Japan, but soon it'll be available to any user who wants it, even here in the US. Tinder says it'll cross-reference data to verify a user's identity. And once that's complete, the user will get a badge added to their profile. The goal is to help others see whether a match has been verified and then be able to make more informed decisions when communicating with that person. Golf is having a moment in the United States. Since the start of the pandemic, Americans have been taking to the tee a lot more often. The National Golf Foundation says the number of rounds played at U.S. golf courses is nearly 20% higher than pre-pandemic averages. Public golf courses are seeing the biggest growth. Rounds played at public courses are up 26% this year, and there's been a 13% uptick at private clubs. That's been good news for brands like Callaway Golf and the group that owns the Titleist brand. Both companies recently reported that golf equipment revenues rose by more than 90% between April and June. It looks like the next generation is going to start hearing music from the top-selling female artist of all time. We're talking about Madonna. The pop icon is releasing deluxe editions of her most popular albums starting next year. That includes Like a Virgin, Like a Prayer, Ray of Light, and a lot more. It's all part of a new partnership Madonna just signed with the Warner Music Group. Madonna is bringing her entire music catalog under the company's umbrella. And as part of the deal, Warner Music will kick off a worldwide celebration of Madonna's music. The plan is to reissue everything in her music catalog over the next few years. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, a quick thanks to our sponsor, Rothy's. Comfort and style are, of course, two of the most important things to me when I'm buying a pair of shoes. But I love that with Rothy's, I get both of those things, plus I can feel good about buying from a company who cares about the planet. Rothy's are made with 100% recycled materials, like thread spun from plastic water bottles, which blows my mind to think about, especially because the shoes are so cute and comfy. Whenever I go browsing for another pair, I'm impressed by all the shapes, styles, and colors they offer, and there's always something new to discover. In fact, Rothy's newly launched men's shoes are also created with nearly zero waste. Rothy's goes beyond shoes, too. They have spacious, washable bags that are perfect for any fun getaways you might have coming up. As Who What Wear points out, even celebrities love these popular shoes. So step up your summer wardrobe with washable, sustainable, stylish shoes and bags from Rothy's. Head to rothys.com/newsworthy to find your new warm weather favorites today. That's Rothys, rothys.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to Trivia Tuesday. Today's trivia question is, what was the first toy to be advertised on television? Find and follow us on Instagram at newsworthypod to play along and find out the answer in our Instagram stories. As for last week's trivia question, which country invented ice cream? The answer is China. Historians say Chinese rulers in the 7th century were the first to create a food that most resembles what we now think of as ice cream. As PBS reports, emperors would mix cow, goat, or buffalo milk together with heated flour and a waxy substance called camphor. They'd then freeze the mixture before eating it. Also, the Italian explorer Marco Polo is said to have brought an ice cream recipe back to Europe in the late 1200s. And the International Dairy Foods Association says ice cream's popularity really started to take off in 1660 after an Italian chef started serving it in a cafe in Paris. That recipe was a blend of milk, cream, butter, and eggs. These days, it's not so much butter and eggs, but instead sugars and other sweet flavorings. All right, thank you so much for turning to the Newsworthy to get your news each day. As always, we'll be back with much more news to know tomorrow by 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Until then, have a great day.